This recording, Trinidad 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Kalaloo. That is one of our national dishes. So to make kalaloo, you have to get leaves of the dasheen plant, a plant that just sends up the leaves, a tuber, I think they call it. To send the leaves up above the ground. So you cut the very young leaves. They're rolled up when they're young. You cut the very young leaves. And you have to cut that up in very small pieces. And we use oak rose to about 15 leaves of the kalaloo, of the dashing bush plant. We would use about 10 oak rose or so. We put a piece of pumpkin and seasonings. Creole seasonings, we call it. We put onion, garlic, five, celery, sea peppers into the pot. And as I mentioned before, a piece of pumpkin, and we would leave it to simmer. When it's almost done, we would add perhaps a cup of or two of coconut milk. We'd grate the coconut, the dried coconut, and squeeze the milk out, and then we'd put that coconut milk into the pot, cover it, and leave it to simmer. At the end of it, we had put salt to taste, and we swizzle it. We don't use a blender. There's a little stick that is made. People make it locally, and it has, say, about 4 or 5 prongs. And we would turn the stick to the left and right until we call it swizzling the kalaloo, until the leaves are all mashed up, and it's like a very thick soup. Mm-hmm. And that kalaloo is served with steamed fish and another dish that we call kuku, that is made with corn flour. In the corn flour, we would also add coconuts. It's a very rich type of meal. And that's it. The kalaloo is served with rice and fish.